Okay, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 38, and here I'll just pick up in verse 37 where Dave left off, and says, "And having heard, they were stabbed in the heart, having heard that the man that they had killed, God had raised and made him Lord in Christ." In other words, now they know they've killed their Messiah, but maybe even worse than killing their Messiah, he's raised from the dead, and what's he going to do? That you rejected him, what's he going to do to the nation? And so they want to know. They say to Peter, "What shall we do, men, brethren? This is terrible." And so then, verse 38. Then Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you, on the basis of the name of Jesus Christ, unto the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all the ones far, as many as the Lord God might call to himself." And with many other words, he thoroughly testified and exhorted, saying, "Be saved from this crooked generation." So they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And he tells them, repent. And this is in the command mode. This is a command. And repent means, it's the Greek word metanoia, two-part word. Metanoeo. Meta means to change. And we have that in English words like metamorphosis, means to change form, meta, change, morph, form. And so that comes into our English language from Greek. Noeo means change your mind, change your thinking. And so to repent is to change your mind. And we always need to look at the context to know what to change your mind about. And so here they're to repent, change their mind about what? Well, why did they say crucify him when Pilate wanted to set him free? Well, the religious leaders had convinced him that he was a blasphemer. And so they wanted to put to death because Jesus was a blasphemer. And they need to change their mind about that, right? Jesus was not a blasphemer. He was who he said he was, and now they know that because he is raised from the dead. And the proof of that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so they need to repent of their point of view of who Jesus was. That he was not just some man who was blaspheming and saying he was God, but he was truly the Son of God, and he was now, as he's being presented to them, their Messiah. And so they're to repent. And I think there's a lot of confusion about what repentance means. I think people tend to look at repentance as a work. But it's really difficult to separate faith and repentance. Can they put their faith in Christ without changing their mind about who he was? No, if they still think he's a blasphemer, they can't believe in him. And so there's a really misunderstanding of what repentance is. And then there are those in dispensational circles that like to say that the whole concept of repentance is only with Israel and the gospel of the kingdom. But as we look in the scripture, that just does not hold up, because we see Paul also preach repentance, and we'll look at some of those. If we go, well, what they do first, if we go to Acts chapter 16, where we have Paul in Philippi. And Paul's in prison. We go to Acts 16, verse 31. And here Paul's in prison, and there's the earthquake. and all their bonds fall from them, and the jailer supposes that everyone's escaped, and so he was going to kill himself. But Paul says, no, we're all still here. And in verse 31, the jailer says, the jailer asked Paul, he says, what is it necessary for me to do to be saved? In verse 31, Paul says, and Paul said, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. And so what some teachers will do, they'll compare Acts 2:38, where Peter says, repent and be baptized. And then they'll go over to Paul here, and he said, where he just says, believe. And they'll say, see the difference here? Paul just says, believe. Peter says, repent and be baptized. But that doesn't mean Paul didn't ever, if we look in verse 32, and they spoke to him the word of the Lord, which is beyond just believe. And there's more to it than that. And notice too, what did they do after they believed? They were all baptized straight away. So there was baptism here. Let's go, if we look in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is preaching on Mars Hill, and in verse 17:30, Paul says, Therefore God, overlooking the times of ignorance, speaking to the Gentiles now, the things now he commands to all men everywhere to repent. Okay, what did Peter, when Peter's ministering to Israel, what did he command them to do? To repent. Here, verse 30, Paul says, now God commands all men everywhere to repent. And here's another example of all men, meaning now it's not just to the Gentile, to the Jew, but it's Jew and Gentile now. It's all men, all mankind. God wasn't dealing with the Gentiles prior to the laying aside of Israel. He was dealing with Israel and that kingdom program and that prophetic program. And any Gentiles being saved were coming in through the nation of Israel. With Paul, we see God moving apart from Israel and sending Paul to the Gentiles. And so now it's an all men. It's not a Jewish focus. It's an all men, Jew and Gentile focus. And here, but still, they are commanded to repent. Now, these Gentiles, what do they need to repent from? Well, they didn't have anything. It's not the same as Israel because they had nothing to do. They weren't there when Israel rejected their Messiah. What do they have to repent of? Their idolatry. In other words, they're back in Romans chapter 1. They rejected God and began worshiping the creation. And when they did that, God said, okay, I'll just let them go their own way. And just decided to leave them to the side for a while. And so, Dan. Well, repentance is when you change your mind, you're turning away from this view and unto a different view. And so that can translate then into turning away from one thing and unto another.
But it's the same words yeah. that are translated.
Yeah. We have here, as we see in this passage, what does Paul do? He tells them who God really is, that he's the creator. And that God is not a piece of stone, a carving of a piece of stone. He's not a piece of wood. And so what they need to repent of is their idolatry and their rejection of the creator. And then they need to turn to their creator. And the basis for that is because he's coming. The day is coming when he's going to judge in righteousness. by a man whom he raised out of the dead, Jesus Christ. And so there we have the same thing. There is a command to repent. Now if we go into Acts chapter 20, and Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. And he says, "As nothing I held back of the things being profitable unto the end to announce to you and to teach you in public and house by house," verse 21, "thoroughly testifying to both Jew and Greek the repentance unto God's." Now there, Dan, you see it's in a direction. The repentance unto God and the faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So here you see the how tied together repentance and faith are. So a repentance unto God, turning to God from whatever, and then in that, as you're tied to that, is placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here Paul says that's what he was doing. That's what his ministry was. And so then also in Acts 26, chapter 26, and verse 20. And here Paul is defending himself before Agrippa. And he says, "From which, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but to the ones in Damascus first, and in Jerusalem, and all the surrounding countryside of Judea, and to the Gentiles." So from the moment Paul was converted, all the way through to his present Gentile ministry. What was he doing? Announcing to repent and to turn upon God. There again, there's the turning there. They're both together. So to repent and to, they're away from God. They need to turn upon God. Then he says, practicing works worthy of repentance. Okay, if you're not really repentant, if you haven't really repented, there's not going to be any evidence of that. But if you have, there is. And so here again, that's what Paul describes his entire ministry. So back to Acts chapter 2. So this, the idea of repentance is not distinctive to the gospel of the kingdom or to the nation of Israel. But here we have Peter calling the nation of Israel to repentance. And that repentance is the fact that they rejected the man who was their Messiah, Jesus, and had him crucified. So they've got to change their mind about that. And so the command here is to repent. So Peter's giving him, they're getting a second chance. They rejected him first. Peter's saying, don't reject him now. You better change your mind. So it says, repent and then be baptized. And this is passive. That means someone is doing it to them. It's part of the command. Repent and be baptized on the basis of the name of Jesus Christ unto the end of the forgiveness of sins. So I think there's some confusion here too. And we have here that they're to be baptized. And what's the basic meaning of baptized, baptizo? The basic meaning, no matter whether it's water baptism or spirit baptism or whatever, we have water baptism, we have spirit baptism. Did you know we've got cloud baptism? We've got pillar of fire baptism. We've got pass through the sea baptism.
Identified with.
Right. Identified with. And so here in verse 38 here, to be baptized unto the forgiveness of sins. And where there's a lot of controversy, which I don't think should be, is on that Greek preposition unto, which is Greek preposition eis, and its basic meaning is unto, or unto the end. King James is translating it for. Now, there's a lot of places where that's a perfectly good translation. I don't think this, in this case, it brings across the idea correctly. I think a lot of the controversy here, then, when you have baptism for the forgiveness of sins, like Church of Christ would teach baptismal regeneration, to say, see, right on the basis of this, they say, see, you need to be baptized. Is baptism, water baptism, necessary for the forgiveness of sins? And then a lot of dispensationalists would also agree that it's teaching baptismal regeneration. But they would say, but this is not pertinent, it's not truth for the church. This is distinct to Israel. Same way they do with the repentance, basically. Now, mainstream Christianity, what they do is they're not dispensational enough to say this doesn't apply to the church. But they don't believe in baptismal regeneration for the church. So what they'll do, what they have done in their scholarship, so-called, is they say, well, this eis really should be translated because of. And so you'd have the translation, be baptized because of sins, and therefore they solve their problem of baptismal regeneration. But eis should not be translated because of. And these prepositions all have direction. Eis points this way, unto the end of. Because of would be pointing backwards, that would be 180 off. So how should this be translated? Well, I think we need to look at it as it, how is it translated when it's used with the word baptizo, baptize. And we have plenty of examples of that. And because baptism is always unto something. And so, let's go look at what we see in Paul's epistles. By one Spirit we are all baptized unto one body. So in one body. As many as you as were baptized unto Christ, put on Christ. Baptized unto Christ. As many as you were baptized unto Christ, were baptized unto his death. So we baptized unto his death. All those who passed through the sea and were under the pillar of cloud were baptized unto Moses, talking about the nation of Israel. All these have the preposition eis in front of them. Same as we have in our passage here, and that's the way it always is. What does that mean? What does it mean that we're baptism carries the idea of identification? Identified. So when we have identified unto one body, or in English, identified with. And so as many as, so by one Spirit we are identified with one body, we are identified with Christ, we are identified with his death. Those who passed through the sea and were under the pillar of smoke were identified with Moses. And so that's the pattern throughout all the scripture. That's just a few. I could bring a whole lot more, but they're all the same. So how should we translate it here? Same as it's translated everywhere else. 2:38. So Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you. Now let's go be identified, okay? Peter said to them, repent and be identified, each one of you, on the basis of the name of Jesus Christ, with the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so they are repenting on the basis of the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the name that's important here. The name is the emphasis throughout the early part of the book of Acts. And what is that name? Jesus Christ. Talking about a name, it's a title. It's tying the man, the historical man, Jesus, to the office and title of Christ. In other words, Jesus is the Messiah. And so Peter is commanding them to repent on the basis of this title. In other words, they rejected that title before. They didn't believe he was their Messiah. They are to repent from that on that basis. That's the basis of their repentance. And be identified with, as a result, this forgiveness of sins. Where is the forgiveness? It's here. Believing in the Messiah. So the identification is not the cause of what you're being identified with. It is the identification, the cause, the source of forgiveness is the name Jesus Christ. And if as when they repent on the basis of that name, then that baptism is an identification with the forgiveness of sins. But the forgiveness of sins is on the basis of that name. So we see here, it's the same, this is totally consistent with the context. What were they there to do? What were the 12 doing? They were to be witnesses of the resurrection. And what did the resurrection tell everybody? That God had made this man Jesus Lord in Christ. He's their Messiah. And they're to repent from that rejection. And so if they do that, as those identified with the forgiveness of sins on the basis of the name of Jesus Christ, they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for the promise is to you, that is to Israel. That promise is to Israel and to your children, their descendants. And then to all as many, and to all the ones far, as many as the Lord God might call to himself. You see the sovereignty of God here. Who are the ones who are going to be identified with the forgiveness of sins? As many as the Lord God might call to himself. And then verse 40. And with many more words, he thoroughly testified and encouraged, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now again, that's passage too. I think King James has save yourselves. But that's passive. It's the idea of be saved. See, that's again the sovereignty of God. Be saved from this crooked generation. And what is the crooked generation he's talking about? Israel, the nation of Israel. What did Jesus say when they asked for the Pharisees asked for a sign? He says, is it crooked and wicked generation, nation that's seeking a sign. And no sign would be given except the son of Jonah. And this is it here in the second chapter, book of Acts.
I think it'd be good to explain how you know where it's passive or not. I found that one of the most interesting things in the Greek.
I know it's passive because of the form of the word. It has a passive ending on it. Is that?
Well, I get it.
Yeah. You know that from the Greek. Okay. Okay. Now, when we're speaking of repentance, we're talking about the sovereignty of God here in repentance. Like faith, repentance must be given by God. As those who are dead, spiritually dead, we're not going to repent apart from God making us alive. And we have passages on that. Acts chapter 5, we could turn there. Acts chapter 5, 31. Here, this one God exalted at the right at his right hand to grant repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. So we see here of whom we were all witnesses. So here, God is granting, giving repentance to Israel. Later on, when they were with when Peter goes to see Cornelius, and then he goes back to Jerusalem, their conclusion was that God had granted repentance to the Gentiles. And also 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 25. He says, in gentleness, discipline the ones opposing, lest God might give to them repentance unto a full knowledge of the truth. And so here, speaking of false teachers, confronting false teachers, and talking about God perhaps granting them repentance unto, again, in a direction away from their false teaching, in the direction and toward a full knowledge of the truth, and that's salvation in Christ alone. Okay, we'll stop there.